the latest technology.
The perfect must-have for every golfer.
The coolest trends.
Oh, gnarly!
Insight from the hottest talent and industry insiders.
Sometimes par is good enough to win.
The South Shore's only golf show on the radio. This is Goldie Belt's Golf Live.
It's in the hole!
Here's your host, Liza Churchill.
Welcome to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. We're coming to you live from the lovely South Shore studios of 95.9 WATD. I'd like to wish everyone in advance a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday this week. I know some people are working. Other people have a few days off. If you can find the time, it's a great time to get out and golf before the snow hits us. There's not much time left here on the South Shore. So my first guest this evening is DuraMed Futures Tour rookie Chelsea Curtis. Chelsea plays out of the New Seabury Country Club on Cape Cod. Chelsea, how are you?
I'm good, Liza. How are you?
Good. So, Chelsea, where are you now?
I'm in Palm City, Florida right now.
So you're down there for the winter? Or?
I'm down here for the winter. Right now, I'm training to get ready for LPGA qualifying school.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your rookie year out there on the Futures Tour.
Yeah, I was happy with my rookie year. I had a second place and a third place finish and a few top 20s. So overall, I was really happy. I came 17th on the money list, and that exempted me into final stage of LPGA Q school.
Oh, wow. Before we get into that, I'm a little confused about all the stages of the LPGA qualifying school. It's much different than the PGA Tour, isn't it?
It is. It's really different. The men's Q school, it's just one Q school, I think, like, at least
three stages,
and that includes the Nationwide and the PGA, whereas the Women's Tour, they have separate qualifiers for Futures Tour and a separate qualifier for the LPGA. And then for the LPGA, there's two sectional qualifiers. You get, and that's just like one stage, so you get to play in both if you don't qualify in the first one to try and qualify into the final stage. So there's really only two stages.
Oh, okay. So when you were in the sectional qualifier, is it 5 days long?
Or five rounds? I got to skip the sectional. The sectional qualifier is 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And the final stage is 5 days.
So you skipped all that because of where you were situated on the money list?
Yes.
Okay, so that was really good that you played really hard out there this year. Pretty good. That exempted you into the final stage of LPGA Tour qualifying school. So where's that going to be held?
It's held at LPGA International in Daytona Beach, Florida.
And how many girls are playing, do you know?
I'm not sure yet. They probably won't have a final list of players until after the LPGA Championship next week, but it's from the two sectionals, they take top 30 players in ties plus LPGA players who lost their status. It's usually around 120, 150.
So it's the same on the LPGA Tour as PGA Tour, that there's a money list and you have to be at a certain number or you're going to have to go back to Q school?
Yes.
Now, do you know what that number is for the LPGA Tour? Top 125 on PGA.
I'm not positive. I think it's top 70. You keep your LPGA status, full
right.
status, and then 71 through 100 may have conditional status.
So your status, even if you go through Q school and, you know, you don't make it, you still have full status on Futures Tour next year?
Yes.
Oh, so that's comforting.
Yeah, it is.
That's like a good little, you know, backup plan, that so you can just focus on the qualifying school and not have
to. So, yeah, that is good.
Your personal website is chelseagolf.com. So listeners on the South Shore and beyond, check that out. Check out who Chelsea Curtis is. And tell me a little bit about your training, like your regime, to get ready for the qualifying school.
Well, the past couple months, I've been really practicing on certain aspects of my game that I think I have to improve on or I'll need for Q school. I usually work on my short game a lot more than I do my long game, and just playing a lot and getting out there and practicing different shots.
So do you play with other people? You have training partners that you work with?
Yeah, there's a few people that practice at the same course that I do that I play with a lot, and I actually got to play with a few friends from the Futures Tour last week, so that was fun.
Now, when you're out on tour with all the girls, is it a really supportive environment with everyone? I mean, it's probably competitive, but do people hang out? And
it was actually a lot more supportive than I would have thought. Everyone was really friendly and nice, and there is a very competitive aspect to it, but it's always on the golf course. And then afterwards, people, you'll find a group of people that you hang out with more than others, but I really enjoyed it.
And the traveling, did you get used to the traveling after a while?
Yeah, I mainly drove my car to every tournament except for one. And towards the end of the season, it was really tough, especially we had 5 tournaments in a row. So I was ready for a break, but I liked it. I got to drive my car all over the country and get to see places I've never been to before.
Did you carpool with some of the girls too?
We would caravan together because you really needed your own car. Everyone had different schedules, and you just have so much stuff in your car, it's hard to squeeze another person in there.
Yeah, I think that caravanning's a great idea. Dermed Futures Tour runs from March through September, and there's 17 events in 14 different states. So you did do a lot of traveling. Tell me a little bit about what was maybe your favorite event this season.
We had an event in Mexico, and it was the first international event that they've had, and it was a great tournament. It was in Puerto Vallarta, and a lot of us would, you know, go to the beach and then you go play golf, and can't really beat that. It was a lot of fun, and it was a really well-run tournament as well.
So do you feel like there's a lot of support out there for the ladies trying to make the LPGA tour?
Yes. Every tournament, actually, besides the Mexico event, there is a housing committee that finds housing for anyone who wants it. And it worked out really well for me. I had some great families that were really, really supportive of my golf, and it made me feel like I was at home. It was great.
Do you take the winter off? Or?
I'm going to go home for Christmas and New Year's, so that will be my time off. And then I'll start right back up training and until whatever tour I'll be on starts up again.
Do you think that from your days at Georgetown, have you built up stamina to touring compared to, you know, college golf?
Yeah, I can. I've been working out, and I can just physically tell the difference. Also, just from playing a lot more golf, and it's completely different. And it's nice to not have to schedule your golf around classes and homework now. So, I'm just a lot of play, and you have to be careful to not overwork certain muscles. I had a little bit of a wrist issue towards the end of the season.
Have you tried equipment changes and all that during your rookie year out on the tour?
I got Mizuno irons because of the new groove rule change. And I've tinkered with a few things, but I've mainly stayed with the same clubs.
Recently, they've had this whole issue on the LPGA with the transgender ruling. What do you think about that?
Right. I was actually just talking to a friend of mine who played in the Senior Am and the USGA Senior Am, and saying how they had allowed them to play. And I know the European Tour allows transgenders to play as well. I'm not sure what stance to take. It's interesting because they develop in adolescence as males, and therefore they have a certain bone structure and muscles that are different than females, which I don't know if that's exactly fair. But at the same time, golf isn't just about power, especially for women's golf. You have to have the short game to back it up. And that's where, you know, if they are good enough, and I don't know if some of these people are who are petitioning the LPGA are. As far as the LPGA ruling for now, I would agree with it.
Yeah, we're in America here, you know?
Yeah.
Gray areas.
Yeah, it is.
Just a gray area. I want to thank you so much for calling in, and good luck with your bid to attain your LPGA tour card, Chelsea.
Thank you, Liza.
And happy Thanksgiving, all right?
All right, thanks. You too. Bye.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf on 95.9 WATD. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. Up next, it's week 3 of Michelle Anderson's 13-week golf fitness segment. Michelle is the owner of Pilates Plus of Cape Cod, and you can check her website out at pilatesplusofcapecod.com.
You're not fit.
We just want to pop. Yeah.
Until you're golf fit.
Here's a killer chest workout you can do at home. All you need is a cheap set of dumbbells and a carpeted floor.
It's your golf fitness tip of the week.
What?
Yeah.
Be strong. Think strong.
With Michelle Anderson of Pilates Plus of Cape Cod.
Today we're going to talk about pelvic lifts. Pelvic lifts are important to the golf conditioning program because they help strengthen and stabilize the lower back. They also ensure that the muscles in the front and the rear of the body are balanced and contract evenly. This movement, the pelvic lifts, is also injury prevention for the low back. Really important for golfing. The muscles we use during this movement are the buttocks, the hips, hamstrings, erector spinae, and abdominals, which are basically your entire powerhouse, focusing on the spine, creating space between each vertebrae. For this movement, you want to do between 6 to 8 repetitions. You want to start by laying on your back. Knees are flexed or bent. Feet flat on the floor, about a hip's distance apart. Roll your shoulder blades back and down. Arms long by your sides. Palms down. Using your arms for balance and to stabilize. Inhale deeply. Start at your tailbone and curl up, raising your buttocks and hips off the floor, one vertebrae at a time. Balance at your shoulder blades. Then exhale slowly to roll back down, one vertebrae at a time. Start again. Inhale to raise the hips up and exhale to release down, articulating the spine. Try to keep your chin about a fist distance from your chest throughout the movement, keeping your neck nice and long. As you're curling up, feel your hamstrings and glutes engaging, squeezing as you lift the hips. Relax in your spine, let it melt down into the floor. Keep going until you've completed your 8 repetitions. And when you're done, roll your knees side to side. On your exhale, drop both knees over. Inhale, knees to center, and exhale to the other side. Keep rolling side to side. If you feel or hear a pop in your spine, that's perfectly normal. That's your spine adjusting. It's good. And after about 6 repetitions, relax, and the movement is done. This movement can also be done using your exercise ball. To see how this is done, or if you have any questions, visit my website, www.pilatesplusofcapecod.com. I'm Michelle Anderson.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. Next up, my guest is swing coach Ben Jackson. Ben's facility is Rhode Island, and you can find him on the web at benjacksongolf.com. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Really good.
Sounds like you're having fun.
I was. The fitness, I mean, golf fitness is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
And we have a great producers here. Larry, my producer here in the studio now, and the head of production, Dave Sprague, who put together that fitness segment. They make it really fun.
Yeah, it's good.
So I know you have a unique teaching philosophy. You teach club head speed, amongst other things. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
The biggest obstacle, the only real obstacle we face in golf is the length of the course.
All right.
Too bad people don't realize that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We look at this as a sport, and that makes us athletes. And the golf being a stick ball sport, controlling the ball is the objective. Okay. So in order to control the ball, you've got to compress the ball on the club face, and that requires speed. And to be quite honest with you, I think there's a lot of bad information. People seem to think that somehow by magic, if you do certain things right in a swing, that the ball is going to magically jump off the club face, and of course that's not true. We focus primarily on the result of a swing, not only the details, the swing details. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there are a lot of pretty swings out there that don't have good results. The ball doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go straight enough, simply because they don't control the ball because they don't compress it on the club face. The longer the ball is compressed on the club face, the better control you have of it.
So is there a certain range where you would, when the club head hits the ball, driving through the ball,
drive yeah.
through the ball,
Yeah, yeah. With especially with today's equipment. I mean, years ago, and it hasn't even been that long ago, but we were kind of slaves to the equipment. We could only do what the equipment allowed us to do. But with today's technology, we can really take advantage of it, okay? And that's what elite players are doing. They take advantage of the equipment. And, yes, so you're right in that assumption. The range on which the ball is on the club face is really the only part of the swing that matters. If you don't know the truth. Anything else had better contribute to that interval in which the ball is on the club face.
I've heard this philosophy before with, you know, some world long drive record holders. Scott Smith.
Yeah.
Women's golf swings seem to be slower than men. Is that just the way our bodies are made differently?
Yeah.
The lack of power?
Well, generally speaking, there is less muscle mass, okay? But having said that, okay, there is a great demand for speed in women's golf. Women have a built-in range of motion, have a almost a ready-made flexibility range that they can really take advantage of once they get over the faulty concept that if I go fast, I'll also lose direction, and that's not true. That one thing there, by gaining power, I'll risk direction. That one thing there keeps players from achieving.
Annika, did she go by the philosophy of the swing speed?
No, she had. Annika was over 100 miles an hour, and there are not many ladies that do that. They could, okay, but they don't. So I think that's a huge, huge demand for in ladies golf. I promise you one thing, my ladies, I have several over 100 miles an hour.
That's amazing.
It's an attitude, okay? Again, this is a sport. We're athletes. The golf course isn't going to surrender. We got to grab it by the throat. We got to be aggressive. In order to do that, we've got to generate some speed, and it's a matter of training.
I think a lot of the young ladies out on tour trying to make the LPGA or on the LPGA, they seem to be risk takers, open to...
They better be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where today's game is. You know, you can't, it's not like it was 20 years ago or even 15 years ago. I mean, in the past, they've been able to get by kind of trying to control the ball around the course. Okay, try to cozy
course
it around.
Course management.
But you can't do that today. You can't do that. Those days are over. You've got to be able to play par fours, driver, wedge. If you want to be a, you know, if you want to go low, you've got to have a short club in your hand into the greens. If you want to be a really good putter, you better have a bunch of really short putts, because I don't know many good 60-foot putters.
I know.
I don't think there are any. So if you want to go low, you got to have short putts. Well, in order to have short putts, you got to have short, more accurate clubs into the green. All right, in order to do that, you've got to drive it deeper. Okay, now we're kind of going at it backward. But in order to drive it deeper, you've got to generate club head speed. So that's what we do.
Well, listen, tell me a little bit about your facility. I know you have one located in Rhode Island. You also teach all over New England?
We have a facility on the Connecticut-Rhode Island boundary, actually.
Oh, okay.
Exit 1 in Rhode Island. Now, we basically, people come into our facility, not only from New England, but from all over the country, all over the planet, really. And I also work with people online. Right now, I was thinking of this just a while ago. Right now, we have online students from Sweden and from the UK, and we have them come, you know, in the program from virtually every part of the country. It's not uncommon for people to come into our facility from all over the states.
So you have an e-coaching program, Fast First Light, and you have that online?
Yes, it's online. And we start off with a basic training program that's both general and also swing-specific training. And everybody starts with that, and then after a few training sessions, students email their results to me, and I go over them, and we change the program to fit their needs. And it's really, really good. It's a fantastic program. It's a lot of fun, and we get really good results. So we're really proud of it.
You mainly teach all different types of golfers, not only touring pros long drive.
Yeah, right. We run the gamut. Yeah, okay. From, you know, in fact, we think of it this way. We all have our U.S. Opens to win. They may not be the U.S. Open, but we all have our own U.S. Opens. So the striving for achievement is the same for all of us, regardless of where we start.
I think so.
So the specific programs may vary depending on where someone starts, but the objective's always the same. We've got to get people better. We've got to overcome the golf course. We got to shorten the thing. We got to shrink the golf course, if you will. So regardless of where we start, and like I said, we've got people from all levels of experience.
So people can contact you at benjacksongolf.com.
Yep.
Is there any other way for them to get a hold of you? Do you have Facebook and YouTube and Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, and we have some stuff on YouTube. And of course, we still use the telephone, obviously.
They can contact you through your website, find your phone number there.
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah.
Do you tweet, Ben?
You know what? I don't.
It's hard to get into.
I probably should, but I don't. At some point, I got to draw the line because I still have a day job of teaching golfers one-on-one.
Right.
But again, that stuff's very interesting.
Well, a lot of the PGA Tour pros are on there, and, you know, Tiger Woods was tweeting last week, which was like the world stopped.
Yeah, that's cool.
But they had a... They had a PGA Tour player that got his caddy off Twitter. He was saying he needed a caddy for an event.
Is that right? That's pretty cool.
And, you know, he found someone. So
that's good.
It's just instant. It's just instant, quick stuff.
Yeah.
Not for everyone.
It would be fun.
I think so. What are you planning to do for Thanksgiving?
We are, holidays are big deals to us. Brings out the kid in us. So we're looking forward to Thanksgiving. We got a ton of football games on, and originally I came from a football background. So we're into that big time, and actually that's one of the few days I take off during the year.
Ben, chill out over Thanksgiving, and I want to thank you so much for coming on. I wish you well in all your endeavors.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate it, and thanks for having me. Maybe we can do it again.
Oh, definitely, Ben. Check it out at benjacksongolf.com.
Tune in to Goldie Bounce Golf Live, heard every Sunday night at 6:30 exclusively on 95.9 WATD.